Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Okay, everybody, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Let's go. Let's reboot the whole damn thing. I'm super ticked off because I thought today was Victory Monday. Them's the rules around these parts. 49ers win a game. Double-digit wins for just the eighth time since Steve Mariucci departed the 49ers. Harbaugh had three such seasons. Kyle Shanahan's now got five. Five of them in nine seasons. And of the four that it didn't happen, obviously it was the first two seasons, which he got the worst roster in football. Then there was the Jimmy Garoppolo torn ACL year, and then there was last year. Outside of that, the other five, 10-plus win seasons each time for Kyle Shanahan. And this one might be, in the eyes of many, the most masterful of them all. So, yay, they beat the Titans. I know maybe that doesn't float your boat, but I'm pretty damn impressed by the coaching staff this year. And I thought Brock Purdy looked phenomenal yesterday. Ricky Pearsall, phenomenal. George Kittle, phenomenal. They are one win away from clinching a playoff spot, and they will play Old Man Rivers on Monday night. And I'm excited about a bunch of these things. And then 6 o'clock rolls around, and here come the Golden State Warriors, and here comes Steph Curry to put on another masterful performance. Just unbelievable to watch him play basketball. And there's so many wonky things going on around him that it gets wasted again. And we wake up on a Monday morning and the Warriors have ruined Victory Monday. They've ruined it. And so that got us into the conversation of what kind of has the Warriors in this spot right now, because a lot of people are yelling about the roster and a lot of people are yelling about the coaching. So that makes it a coaching versus construction conversation. And we are wide open for your phone calls throughout this 5 o'clock hour, 888-957-9570. Call right now. We'll take your calls. What is this actually about? Is it more about coaching? Is it more about construction? I don't think it's been a wonderful year for either side, but my mind definitely pushes in the direction of construction, and not so much at the feet of Mike Dunleavy. He's still relatively new, but I think that the ownership, and I guess this is the entire front office.
Yeah.
They're just a little bit too in love with some of their previous decisions, and they stick with them too long.
So where would you slice the pie? Because for me, I've got it at 70-30 construction over coaching. I think that the coaching, Steve would even admit it, the coaching has not been great, and it's been tough to find a rotation because you've had Steph miss a third of the year. You had Draymond miss some games, personal reasons, and also he had an affliction. Kuminga missed a bunch of games. Melton wasn't ready. Moses missed the first two. You've only had a couple of guys, I think three guys in total, who've played every game. So it's been hard, not to excuse Steve Kerr. I do think that this Jonathan Kuminga situation, whatever is going on, that's on the coaching staff because, yeah, he was here. He has been a part of the construction now for five seasons, so I mean, you could chalk that up as bad construction, and that's fair to do so. And maybe they did align themselves too much with past decisions. But I also look at the front office and think kind of what you and I have talked a lot about, like, what are they supposed to do? You're not going to suddenly tear it down and ship out Draymond and bring in young players around Steph. They doubled down. They tripled down on being a veteran team, and it has not worked out.
I think your number is about right. Yeah, that's kind of where my mind goes, kind of a 75-25 thing. I don't think Steve Kerr is having a great year, but some math problems are harder than others. And if you're really – see, here's what I think where at least the conversation sometimes gets a little stuck. If you're going to say Steve Kerr is doing a bad job, then that means you think the Warriors have really good players. That's how I view it.
I mean, not really good players, but better than what they're showing.
Okay, and I don't think that. I think that they've got obviously, they've got some Hall of Fame players, but they're all old, and to some degree or another, all of them have missed – a somewhat significant amount of games so far. And then as far as the younger crop, you're caught somewhere in between the idea of they haven't been able to fully develop the way you'd love because they've joined the Warriors, who have Hall of Fame talent and are still in the midst of trying to or thinking that they can win at a high level. So I get that piece. But I also then furthermore look at them and I go, I don't think these are great players. And by the way, they're not supposed to be. Other than Jonathan Kuminga, there's not a damn top 10 pick on the roster as far as a young player.
Now, Moody's lottery, but I get your point.
But he's not a top 10 pick. Like, they're not. Pods and Moody are rotational players. That's kind of what you get in the middle of the first round. Rotational players. Kuminga is obviously a different conversation that has many legs to it that we've had. But I think that this market spends more time than most talking about dudes who are just dudes. They're just pieces. That doesn't make them bad. They're NBA players, but they have not been given the opportunity to, and they are not players who can come in and be the central focus of winning basketball games consistently in the NBA.
And that's partly construction, but exactly. I also look at the construction and then the coaching of the team. Buddy Hield, by the way, was a number 6 overall pick. So if you want to talk about all-time lottery guys, you've got Steph, Kuminga, Moody, and Buddy Hield. I don't think that Al Horford, he might have been right on the outside edge of the lottery when he came out. Heck, it's been so long, they may not have even had the lottery back then, he says jokingly, knowing it started in 1985. But you do have a roster comprised of a lot of second-rounders. Draymond Green, second round, Richard, Post, Spencer undrafted, TJD, Gee. These are all guys who you shouldn't be relying on them to be solid rotational players, but you have to. And so that is construction. But the other piece of the coaching is you haven't been able to settle on real role definition for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Pat Spencer's amazing for a week. Now he's trending toward the bench. Will Richard's been great. Now he doesn't play.
He's searching. Can you blame him, though?
I'm not blaming him, but it's his job to figure it out.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
he's not figuring it out.
He has not yet. But again, and that's where we go. To me, that is that 75-25, 70-30 kind of a thing. Like, is that on the players? Is that on the coach? Yes, it is his job. He's not had a great year. But if you really want to come down Steve Kerr's road, I would love, this is just me, I'd love to hear what it is you would do in his position that you think would lead to a much better record right now. And my mind more goes to the acquisitions, the things that have or have not happened over the last couple of years, the allowing the Kuminga situation to be your whole offseason until the flurry at training camp, the signing of a 40-year-old, the signing of somebody who had a torn ACL, the signing of somebody who you couldn't actually bring into the fold until mid-November and then don't play him anyway. You know what I mean? Like that's, but I also get that you're going to be resource challenged when you've got two players making north of $50 million.
For sure. And just one point of clarification, Al Horford was taken third. So he was a lottery pick.
No, talking about the young players.
I just was looking at the roster overall.
Yes.
And yeah, Al Horford, he was taken 30s in his 20th year. So he's a lottery player, but he's an older guy. Buddy Hield, he should be better. And I look at the roster and yeah, it's his job to figure out who can play with whom and who can play better. And it feels like it's taking too long. We're now a third of the way into the year. We're 27 in and 55 left to go. So, you know, you got to figure out, if you can't figure out who plays with whom, you do need to figure out stylistically how you can make your offense play better when Steph's off the floor. And he even said this last night, when Jimmy's out there, they need to find a better way to get Jimmy involved offensively.
They did last year. So, like, they have the blueprint, but their growth on what you're talking about, there's no doubt you're right, but their growth on it is stunted. In other words, it's like, you need to figure this out. Oh, but hang on, because Steph's not available for a week and a half. Okay, now you need to figure this out. Wait, we just acquired Seth Curry and DeAnthony Melton is now healthy. Now you need to figure this out. Ooh, Pat Spencer's kind of interesting. Okay, you need to figure this, like, so it, that's what I'm saying. The continuity of this whole thing, it feels like we've barely gotten out of the starting block, even though they're 27 games in.
I'll give you that on continuity, but at the same time, when you have this many veteran players, as they do, you should have more of an offensive and a defensive identity. And right now, you don't. Your offensive identity is run everything through Steph, and when Steph's not in there, well, we'll kind of go through Jimmy, but we're not going to create enough offense so he can really thrive. And then defensively, you try to play zone, and you can't guard, and you can't rebound, and you try to play man-to-man, and you've got at least two players on the floor at any time that are a defensive mismatch nightmare.
888-957-9570. All right, let's take some calls. A lot of people want to weigh in. Caleb in Newark is first up. Hi, Caleb. Thanks for the call.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Yo, yo.
Hey, just to let you know, though, I'm at 2%, so I got to be quick here.
Okay.
Whatchamacallit? Yeah. First off, I'm not going to get in too deep to this roster as a whole. At the end of the day, I think this team's going to look a lot different in a few months. So it is what it is. But Kuminga getting DMPs is ridiculous. But I have a Kuminga trade for you guys. Gibbs, you have your notebook ready?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So it's three teams. It's a three-team trade. It's the Nets, it's the Warriors, it's the Kings, okay? So the Brooklyn Nets would acquire Moses Moody, Buddy Hield, and they would get Dennis Schroeder from SAC. The Warriors would get Michael Porter Jr. and Keon Ellis, and the Kings would get Jonathan Kuminga in the deal as well. And the Nets would get a first-round pick from the Warriors as well.
Okay, I was going to. My first question was going to be why would the Nets do this? But then you just answered it with the first round pick. So you're talking about next year's first rounder?
Yes. How do you feel about that trade?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Caleb, thanks. And maybe Caleb was the one. I saw this on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, really?
This exact deal, and maybe Caleb sent it to us.
Perhaps.
I don't hate that. I'm still a little head scratching as to why the Brooklyn Nets would do that. The first round pick, I guess, helps explain that a little bit.
Yeah.
They just traded, obviously, for Michael Porter. But yeah, that is a deal that would make the Warriors better.
Absolutely,
the Warriors better.
Michael Porter is partly a cure for what ails them. He's a guy who can shoot it, and he's also very long and active defensively. And Keon Ellis is just another piece of what you kind of already have.
Yeah,
I think
good defensive player though.
Exactly, he's kind of like a GP2 with a little bit more offense. So for me, if they're going to do any trade, I'm looking to send out two or three and get back one player if possible. Because right now your roster is too much of a glut of Keon Ellis's.
But again, in this mythical thing that Moody and Kuminga and Buddy Hield are all off of the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The roster, so now you're going to need more people to kind of man some of those spots, and none of those are the little guards, but they're kind of bigger guards, if you will. At least that's what Moody is. Buddy Hield kind of plays a smaller wing position. It opens up a roster spot for Pat Spencer. I don't know if you care about that, but that's three out and two in.
Yeah,
so Spencer can be, you know,
switched
from a two way.
Yeah, and I mean that's exciting.
I mean. But.
I love Pat Spencer, I'm not ever going to,
but I know that they're I think they want to do that. I think that they do want to do that.
They want to convert him to a full-time.
Yeah, they don't want, like, as it stands right now, you're going to get to, where is their 50th game on the schedule? Late January?
Yep, January 30th.
Yeah. Pat's done.
Right. I mean, yeah, he's done.
And
He would be done unless they can convert him at that point. Because I think he's played, quote unquote, he's been active for all 27.
I think
I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So that would definitely happen at the end of January. And you know, the JK Day, as we've been calling it, as I dubbed it, a month from today, Jan 15th. Today's December 15th.
December 15th.
31 days away from. And that's kind of the quiet bummer of this is you can't even put Jonathan Kuminga in the ESPN trade machine. They have him blacked out. You can't add him in the trade machine.
You're not allowed to. He's not.
But it's
not
a trade
tradable.
Machine. Can we just like? Can you let me play around with it?
By the way, is that because of when the deal was signed? Is that right? When the deal with Jonathan was signed, is that what sets that date? January 15th.
That sounds right. Like,
okay,
it's a certain amount of time after an extension is inked. I'd have to check my CBA.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but if that is the case, boy, yet another reason to have not let the Kuminga thing drag on all off season long, because the rest of the NBA can start talking about trades now. The rest of the league can start now, but you can't. The Warriors made a December trade last year. The Schroeder deal was in December. So the Warriors could be talking right now about getting better. But nope, because we had to bark at each other and we had to make sure that Aaron Turner did an hour and 23 minutes with Steiny and Goo. Okay. Like that's part of it for me. That's what I point to. When you know, construction, coaching, sure, yes and yes. But I really point to stubbornness.
Yeah.
The stubbornness of the way that the operation is run for me. And that actually covers both coaching and construction.
No doubt. Just looking at an article on SI, typically free agents can be traded December 15th. However, since Kuminga re-signed after being an unrestricted free agent, the two sides would have to wait until January 15th, and that's when the restriction for those players is lifted.
He wasn't unrestricted. He was restricted.
But he was, I think, once he did not sign the qualifying offer, and then they signed him to a contract. I think that's what made him, at that point, an unrestricted free agent.
Well, no. Then he was a Warrior because he signed the deal.
Right.
That's confusing, yeah, because he was never an unrestricted free agent, but I don't know. Ed in Petaluma. Hi, Ed. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Hey, I have a couple of things. The first one is, I believe it's the roster, because you got to have the horses. It doesn't matter what sport you play. If you don't have a decent roster, you're not winning. But here's something about Steve Kerr, which I've never heard. You know, he had his team on cruise control since he had them. He had great players, four Hall of Famers, Iguodala, Livingston. He didn't really have to coach. But now he has to coach. And when you look at his resume of coaching, he had no experience prior to going to the NBA as a coach. So does he really know how to coach as opposed to being the coach? That's my question.
Yeah, Ed, and my very, very, like, the firmest answer that I can give is yes. I think that in sports, we do that, and I'm not comfortable with it, which is that when a coach has good players, we act like they're not doing anything. I come from a school, get your drop ready, I covered the Laker dynasty. I was in that locker room on a nightly basis. Phil Jackson is a phenomenal coach. a phenomenal coach. So look what he did once he didn't have Kobe and Shaq. Well, not so much. But in many ways, the coach who has to handle the dynastic locker room actually has a bigger challenge than the coach who just has to manage a bunch of pups who are learning how to play the game. It's a different job.
Completely.
But it is, I would argue, probably a more challenging job. So please do not denigrate what coaches do when they have great players. It is still challenging. There's a reason that Steph Curry has said he doesn't want to play for any other coach. Steph's not a dummy. He wouldn't say that just because Steve's his boy. He believes, as does Draymond Green, as do all of the other people within the Warrior organization, that Steve Kerr has added a lot through the years. I think that's kind of a, I'm trying not to go there. It's a little bit of a disrespectful statement to after all of this, to ask if Steve Kerr knows anything about coaching.
It's a different job, and that was a great way to put it. And I only have a personal reference from my own high school coaching career. And I can tell you that having a dynastic team in my last year at Drake, when we won our third straight North Coast Section Championship, it was not any easier than my first year, where we absolutely stunk because of what you're talking about, yep, expectations and also ego management and, you know, playing time management and all the rest of it. And so if you're Steve Kerr and you're trying to balance out Iguodala and Livingston and Curry and Draymond and, you know, all Durant, all the rest of it, there's a lot of different work that goes in, as opposed to, you know, when you're coaching a team of just straight up young pups, where, you know, the expectations are lower and you don't have to do as much ego management. You can just kind of, you know, we're going to play 11 tonight. We're going to play 12 tonight because we don't have expectations. We're just going to kind of see what we have. So it's different. That's a good way to describe
it. Yeah, no doubt about it. It's different. And sure, are there times where it looks like the Warriors could just run themselves? Yeah, Steve left. Luke Walton came in. They won all the basketball games. A little bit of a different year, a little bit of a different time. They always, I think, sports teams always go through a lot, no matter how many good players they have. And it's not easy to manage. Rich in Daly City is next up. Hi, Rich. Thanks for the call. What you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I want to operate on the assumption that we're waiting till January, right? So if we're doing something in the short term, I would say, you know, put JK and Moody into the starting lineup to go with Steph, and then to showcase them, but also give them time to develop some consistency and knowing their role. And then also use Steph as Steph's backup, so you don't lose any qualities. It's like Steph light. And then use, Milton and Richard as the defensive backups on the second string. Maybe even move Green as a closing lineup into the second string to conserve his energy, but also use him at the back end of game so we can close things out. What do you guys think? You know, that's assuming that we're not moving anyone yet, and then at the same time we're not shooting ourselves in the foot by not undervaluing the assets that we're going to try to sell at the trade deadline.
Rich, thanks. There's one piece of this I'm stuck on, which is the idea of whoever the Warriors might be willing to deal, which I think is more people than we realize.
Anybody except both Currys.
I mean, I know that everyone's like, okay, Jonathan Kuminga is going to be in the deal. Who else? I don't know. But this idea of play them to showcase them or don't play them because they could get hurt. I hear both of those takes a lot, and I actually don't think that either one of them are on the Warriors' minds very much.
No.
I really don't. I don't think they're scared of guys getting hurt. You can't play that way. They want to win basketball games. I also don't think that they're looking to showcase anybody. All of these players we're talking about, the league knows who they are. They have their opinions formed on this whole thing. And then as far as any of these other lineup machinations that you're throwing out there, I can't poo-poo them. But the Warriors would. I know how eager so many of you are to move Draymond Green to the bench and make him a bit player in this whole thing. But I don't know what to tell you. Steph Curry doesn't see it that way.
Right.
He just doesn't. Steph Curry doesn't see it that way. Steve Kerr doesn't see it that way. Mike Dunleavy doesn't see it that way. The Warriors don't see it that way. So you kind of just, I think you got to make peace with it.
You got to let that one go. Yeah. I'm with you. And whether or not you think that should happen, it's not going to happen. And so you've got a team that at times struggles on defense. And last night's a great example where you couldn't stop Portland from lighting it up from three. So you're going to take your best defensive player off the floor. And even though he's not as good on defense as he maybe was last year or the year before, he still is your best defender, I would say.
Better than what you got, yeah,
so
no doubt.
You're going to go ahead and diminish your defense to bring him off the bench. And the bigger problem for me is combinations, and that's what Steve Kerr always talks about, where you need to have enough shooting out there. So if you've got Jimmy, who isn't a three-point shooter, and Draymond, he's been better at times this year, but he doesn't really shoot the three, and you start to run down who on your team doesn't shoot the three, and that's TJD as well. And so now you're going to have a hard time playing size and defense and shooting unless you really stagger all these guys' minutes.
Let's go to Sean in Oakland next. Hi, Sean. What's going on? What you got?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. I know we're talking about roster construction and coaching, but let's just sit here and think, guys. Look, with their roster how it is, I mean, it's not horrible. I mean, they're not a top four in terms of roster, but I think they're definitely top six or seven. When you look at this team on paper at the beginning of the year, yeah, they're small. Yeah, they're not athletic enough. But if you marched out their five best players on paper at the beginning of the year, it would have been the big three, Kuminga and Horford. Now, we know Horford is an afterthought with his injuries and so forth. But even now, Kuminga, he's DMP to death, so you probably won't see much of him. But if you think about the big three, Melton and Post, I mean, you got a decent five to go with, and then you got some other pieces. But my main point is really with coaching and schemes. Watching that game last night, we are so predictable. I mean, we're coming down the court, passing the step. Moody's a player, but just as a player, why are we not drawing up schemes to get some other people the ball so they can shoot it as opposed to running it out to Curry and then having them double team? I don't like the schemes, and I don't like the lack of predictability. They're just so predictable. It's just ridiculous.
Sean, this is an interesting point, I think, because, one, I sort of get the Warriors' paralysis of Steph Curry. Jimmy Butler recently called him a cheat code, and you watch somebody go out there and drop 48 on a night like this, and it's pretty hard to say, boy, you know what they should do is go away from him. They should do less of him. But does it interest anybody that the Warriors had a great weekend last weekend?
When he didn't play.
And then Steph came back and you lost both of the games? I know he played great as an individual. Please don't think I'm saying that the Warriors are better without Steph. What I am saying is I think that certain players become paralyzed when Steph Curry is on the floor. And when he's not, then they suddenly go, now there's a little bit more leeway for me to try some things, and maybe they do play a different level of team basketball. I don't know. Very small samples.
Right.
But
I mean, 9 games this year. 9 of the 27 he hasn't played.
What's the record?
I'll check that here momentarily.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. I just was looking at another number, which is they are the only team that shot more threes than twos in the association. The only one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shooting to where they're 10th in three-point percentage. So it used to be they'd shoot a bunch of threes, and they were top three in percentage. And so that's okay. So it's a team that shoots a lot of threes. They don't make a lot, and they turn the ball over a ton. So to your point about, you know, how do you play when Steph's not in there? Well, if you're still going to be a run-around, shoot-em-up, three-point team, you don't have a lot of guys who are shooting it. Buddy's shooting 31% this year. Jimmy Butler's below 30. He doesn't shoot him very often. So without Steph, you're still going to try to be this predictable team, to the caller's point, and it doesn't work because you don't have the shooting to do it.
Yeah, but who were you in Chicago 8 days ago? Who were you? Jimmy returned. No Steph. No Draymond. Jonathan gets a DNP. And you looked phenomenal. It was one game. And Chicago's no world beater.
Right.
In fact, they're even less than that. They're not even very good. So I get that. But the night before, you beat what I would still refer to as a solid Cleveland team. And you did that with no Jimmy, no Draymond, no Steph, no Al, and Jonathan playing but going 1-for-10. And you beat them. And a few nights before that, you went to Philly and fell down by a million. And again, no Jimmy, no Draymond, no Steph. You make a furious run and should have won the game. So whatever happened sort of like from halftime in Philadelphia to the end of the game in Chicago, 10 quarters of basketball, I found it to be pretty interesting. And Steph played none of those. Draymond played none of those. Jimmy only played four of those. Jonathan only played five or six of those and did not play well. And the Warriors played winning basketball for all 10 of those quarters. Kind of significantly, by the way.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, they outscored the opponents by a lot in those 10 quarters.
First quarter against Philly, you were down 30-10.
No, again.
No, I know.
Starting at halftime in Philadelphia, 10 quarters all on the road, and you significantly outscored your opponents.
Right, but at the same time, you lost the game. And also, interesting to note that Draymond Green left that Philadelphia game
right
early in the ball game, and yet you were able to come on. I was looking at this earlier, and you're now 9-8 when Butler, Curry, and Green all play, and you are 4-6 when they don't. And Steph Curry's record is 9-9 this year, by the way.
Okay.
So 4-5 without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9-9 with, 4-5 without, and with the big three, as I mentioned, you're now 9-8 after last night. So
that's super discouraging, by the way.
Right. So if you have the big three together, you're barely above 500. If you don't have them all together, you're barely below 500.
Interesting.
You are what your record says you are, Mark.
It works in this case, yes. Mm-hmm. Nicholas and Martinez. Nicholas and Martinez. Hi, Nicholas.
Hey, what's going on, Mark and Diz? How you guys doing?
What's up?
Been listening to you guys throughout the day and going back and forth. It's weird.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Because we have this victory with the Niners, and then we're watching the Warriors, and they're struggling. Well, the Niners are, you know, succeeding right now to the best of their abilities with a bench that is just completely depleted. We're watching Kyle Shanahan do some crazy stuff, and meanwhile, we have the Warriors in the background with a coach that is proven, and he's struggling with some players that have proven themselves in history. And I just want to point out, man, it's so hard to play with somebody like Steph Curry. It's so hard to play with somebody like Draymond, and even to be coached by somebody like Steve Kerr, because the expectation is so high. Kyle Shanahan right now is doing an amazing job doing it with young talent, and he's figuring out how to pair people, even youngsters, in a system that is his system, and he controls that system. And I don't feel like Steve has a really good grip on that. He's just like this peanut butter and jelly kind of person where he's playing with Steph Curry, who's more like a marmalade. You can't put marmalade on anything. It just doesn't go. It doesn't jive. Yeah, it's great on some things, but it's not on everything. But I just want to give him credit and let the season play out. It's still early in the basketball season. And as far as Niners goes, let's go.
Bang, bang. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nicholas, thank you.
Nicholas, English muffin, by the way, is the correct answer for marmalade. Put a little marmalade on that English muffin.
You put salted butter. Put that thing on some crackers.
But he's right about like peanut butter and marmalade. Not really the combo. But
No. Although I don't find Steve Kerr to be a peanut butter and jelly kind of a person. And again, I sort of feel like we got to at least acknowledge the inevitability of some of this. Like, we'll sit there and say, oh, Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, they're not succeeding with this system. And it's like, you guys know what happened a few years ago, right?
That's not this system, though.
No,
this
but
team.
It's not succeeding anymore. But what did you want him to do? Did you want him to get rid of these players when all of you didn't want him to get rid of these players?
No, I want him to play the guys who actually are good basketball players.
Who's that?
Probably Jonathan Kuminga. We don't know because he doesn't get to play anymore. So he plays well early, he gets hurt, and now he gets DNP. So yeah,
that's
what I want.
But it's flat out not fair to just say he's good at basketball and the other players aren't.
It's a question
of there's no evidence of that at all.
There's evidence that you're going out there and playing this group of guys and you're losing games to teams like Portland who are younger and more athletic than you. So we're going to keep rolling out our 6-2 lineup.
No, I'm not advocating that at all, but I'm like, if we're going to say that, you know, the part about how Steph Curry, when he plays, the Warriors have not necessarily been better than when he doesn't play. Well, that's true for Jonathan too. You can't say that about anyone. He has not affected winning. If you want to say he has not affected losing, that's fine too. I don't know why it's a full-blown DNP, but there's no evidence to suggest that he's the fix. I mean, we've got to at least agree on that, do we not? You got to step toward the middle of the... To me, the whole Kuminga situation has actually landed in what I find to be a pretty comfortable spot. I can sit here and go, I don't know why it's a full-blown DNP. But I would imagine that those on the Kuminga side of the fence, you know, Goo has done this big time the last couple of weeks. You got to step toward the middle of this conversation and realize he has been disappointing with the opportunity presented to him at the start of this year.
I mean, at the start of the year,
on him.
At the start of the year, I would say he was not disappointing, and then
not all of a sudden, two games.
I mean, you look at his first, I guess, five of the first six, and then seven of the first nine, and then he comes out 3-for-10, 1-for-9, 6-for-9, 0-for-1, he gets hurt. And then after that, he comes back and he's not starting. And that's where he kind of went down the slide. And then 3-for-10, 4-for-12, 1-for-10.
Yeah, and he was showing
a level of disinterest that I think became why he started getting these DNPs.
That's soft, by the way. I don't know that that's the reason, but if it is, that's soft. You don't get to do that in pro sports. You don't get to have your production fall off of a cliff because you're not starting and you're mad about it. I'm sorry. That's a no for me.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, you don't get that.
But at the same time, how long are you going to have somebody, even if he is in the doghouse and no one's ever said that, and you know, I'm maybe jumping to conclusions, but I do know that he seems to be healthy and he hasn't played in three straight games where it feels to me like you could use an athletic player out there.
It feels that way.
For an old, slow, small team.
But it feels that way.
If he is in the house, much like Brandon Ayuk was famously, all roads lead to Ayuk. At what point do you get out of said doghouse?
I don't know.
When do you get to move out of the guest room?
He might not. Maybe not until he moves to a new city.
Yeah, and that would be a little bit easier to take if you were going out there and winning games and not looking like you did, giving up 136 to Portland.
Yeah, no, I get it. I absolutely get it. 888-957-9570. You know, Rich in Fremont is a good listener of the show. He wants to see something on the Niners. Hey, Rich, what's up? What's going on?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm chiming in, you guys have been talking about the Warriors a lot, but I would chime in on the 49ers because I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, I'm kind of good with where the Niners are right now, just simply the fact that when you look at Kyle Shanahan and what he's been able to do, I mean, a lot of his core pieces have not really been a part of what's happening this season. And anytime you lose Bosa and then you lose Warner, I mean, it's really difficult. Now, I understand that's the defensive side, but, you know, you don't have Ayuk and you have all these missing pieces, and yet you're still able to ride the ship and steer it where it's supposed to go. Now, we're in third place in that division. And, oh, by the way, the three in that division are all playoff contenders, so that probably has a lot to do with it. But you consider the fact that after everything that's going on this season, the Niners are still in the driver's seat. And some people say, oh, well, you know, they had a soft schedule or whatever. It's like, look, you know what? I'm tired of people telling me that, hey, you know, some team has a soft schedule, okay? Because at the end of the day, this is the NFL, dude. This is the cream of the crop. You don't get into the NFL because you pranced your way in there. You get in there because you're playing a top level in football. That's how you get there. So even if you play in a team that's considered a bottom feeder, they're still an NFL team. You still got to go out there and beat them. And if you don't have all your pieces, it can be more daunting to deal with. So when you look at everything involved with Kyle, you got to admit, man, the guy's doing, he's doing a phenomenal coaching job.
There's no question. No question. Rich, thanks. Like, I the way I look at it is sometimes the definition of a good team is the team that beats all the bad teams. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Look around the league and go, oh, how do you have all those wins? Well, look at all their wins, and you'll usually see most of them be against the bad teams. The bad teams lose, and the good teams win. And so if you beat the bad teams, you're a good team.
Yeah.
Like, the 49ers don't have any embarrassing losses.
Yeah, no bad losses,
like,
really.
Like, you know, you might think they should have beat Jacksonville or whatever, but you were pointing this out the other day. They've no huge blown leads, and their four losses are to teams that are all currently headed to the playoffs.
Exactly.
So
Houston and Jacksonville both likely to go, and
Tampa and the Rams.
That's right. And you know, the Rams still have a track to get the one seed if they can get by Seattle and continue on their winning ways. So yeah, no bad losses and, you know, quality wins. They have the one over LA and beyond
Seattle.
Yeah, I'll give you Seattle.
Yeah.
That's at Seattle too. So two quality wins. No bad losses, and you're 10-4. So I'm with you, Rich. I like the way you broke that down.
888-957-9570. You got room for more. If you're on hold, stay right where you are. We get back to the Warrior situation. Ooh, Bill says fans need an explanation on Kuminga. You know what that would be?
Yeah, it would be tomorrow with Steve Kerr. Is it Wednesday?
Is he tomorrow? Steve Kerr.
Oh,
tomorrow?
Okay. There you go.
Steve Kerr tomorrow. Monster Monday presented by Merit America. Visit him at meritamerica.org/super. Also sponsored by the Super Bowl Experience, presented by Jersey Mike's. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
This is random, but it's a good day to do it, because I'm in my Purdy bag today.
Yeah?
Okay? I know it's been a lot of dubs, but boy, the president of Brockistan really wishes that we could have just fawned for 4 hours.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow we can.
If you're offended by Brock Purdy's $53 million a year that starts next year, you know what you should do tonight? You should watch a quarterback that makes $53.1 million a year. You should watch him play. And that is the definition of a bad quarterback contract. His name is Tua Tagovailoa. And he plays for the Miami Dolphins.
My Dolphins.
And they just showed a highlight package of Tua this year. And I mean interceptions where he's throwing to no one.
Well, he's actually throwing to someone. A guy in a Browns uniform.
I mean, woof. Woo! How many more years on that deal for Tua? When did he sign it? Tua.
He's got two or more years.
Free.
It's the holidays. We're trying to have some fun.
I enjoyed that one. The void year is 2029.
Yikes.
For Tua's contract.
Okay.
Tua contract. Let's take
They can get out in 2027.
Okay.
So
signed it.
Essentially, it's this year and one more, and then there's an out for about $35 million on the dead cap. So it's really one more year on the contract.
On the contract, yeah. But the funny money thing, like, it goes through 2028. But yes,
right.
Potential out is actually the potential out 2027. Yes, after next year. Woo!
Yep.
Anyway.
We'll get more into that tomorrow because, as I said on our show thread today, I thought Brock was just spectacular.
He was brilliant.
And
Kyle spoke
today about it and said, you know, there's a couple mistakes he made. There was one throw that he made down the left side into a sea of like three different people.
That was a bad throw.
I was like, what are you doing, bro?
Well,
but it happens.
You know,
but
he gets out there and starts running around
sometimes
circles.
Sometimes he gets excited and he just makes throws where it's like, let's see if I can put this in between four people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I enjoy watching him play. He was a fun watch yesterday.
No doubt.
He was a fun watch. And if you don't believe that the Niners are better with his mobility, I'm not sure what to tell you. Like, I mean, this is the – and the offense is doing what we said they needed to do. Like, yes, the Niners, if they're going to have success in January, they're going to have to outscore some people. Their defense is not great. That's the way it's going to go. And they look like they're potentially prepared to do that, which
is great. Averaging 31 a game since he's come back over the last four.
Not great opponents, but still, like NFL games, you don't just walk out. And one of those games was in Cleveland. One of those games, he threw three picks. I mean, for you to average 31 when you've got that Panthers game on your resume, think about what you're doing in the other games.
Yep.
So anyway, hey, before we take Bill in San Jose, real quick, Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made 24 three-pointers last night. Obviously, Steph got this donation by himself. The donation comes if the Warriors hit at least 10 threes, but Steph made 12. The rest of the team made 12 more, 51% of their shots from beyond the arc. Isn't that impressive? Oh, by the way, they lost. But it is the 27th donation of the year for Triples for Autism. Clean sweep, all 27 games. If you would like to help out, donate, contribute to autism and the fight, we would love it. Go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. We invite you to go to PettinelliFP.com.
All right.
All right.
Rack them up. Just one more Niners postscript before we take these calls. Shanahan is now the fifth choice for Coach of the Year. So if you think he still has a shot, plus 600, 6-1 odds. Bet 100, win 600.
Betting odds have him fifth?
Yes.
Can I try to guess who the other four are?
Sure.
Vrabel.
He's number one, plus 150.
Gosh, who else? Thank you. I was waiting for that. Who else would be coach? Definitely. Okay, Vrabel. I guess Liam Cohen, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep. I mean, you know where that is, Lucas.
It's a ding.
Yep.
It's a ding. Yeah, ding.
Well, yeah. He doesn't. Yeah.
My man Ben Johnson. Chicago Bears.
One more ahead of Shanahan.
I got multiple candidates here, but I got to believe that Shane Steichen has fallen below Shanahan at 8-6.
100-1 now, correct.
Lost four in a row. So
you got number one, you got number three, you got number four, you got number five, who's Shanahan. This is the number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
This should not be hard.
You don't think so?
Do you know it?
I would guess Sean Payton.
Well, you would be wrong.
Yeah. See,
if I can quote Greg Cosell.
Sean Payton is Sean Payton. You got to remember, Coach of the Year has nothing to do with...
The one seed in the AFC?
No, it has
nothing. He is number six on the board at 16-1.
Right. Like, but it has nothing to do with your resume, and it has nothing to do with like your team being good. It has to do with, did you surprise people? Who's my man with the Seahawks?
This man is old, and he has a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm, he had Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Seahawks, yes.
E-I-E-I-O.
McDonald, yeah, absolutely.
Mike McDonald, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I was going to say,
with a Darnold here and a Darnold there. Because
when you said he's old, you were doing a nursery rhyme, and I was like,
"Here a Sam, there a Sam, everywhere a Sam,
that
Sam.
Old. He's not that old.
It's all relative.
So I got tripped up there. But yeah. That's what I would have guessed.
Did E-I-E-I-O help you at all?
Sean McVay number seven on the list?
McVay is number seven, tied with D'Amico Ryans at 60-1.
Where's Cheryl Bosa's guy?
No, not Harbaugh.
Yeah, where's Harbaugh?
Which one?
That's Jim.
200-1.
Where's that?
John, 400-1.
No, where's that rank him? 200-1. Oh,
Steichen is ninth. Canales is 10th. Now is
Harbaugh's behind Steichen, who's lost four in a row,
and Canales. Yeah,
that's stupid. That's stupid. He's 10-4.
I'm Big Dom. My guy should be higher than 12th.
No, he's doing a terrible job.
I was still a playoff team as of now.
Yeah, exactly.
The season ended today. Yes, 225-1.
You should be better than what you are.
Anyway,
Nick.
That was your
thank you.
Your coach of the year.
Okay.
If you're a Shanna fan, you can still get 6-1 odds right now. Mm. If they run the table, and if Vrabel, if he runs the table and Vrabel
oh, God.
Is unstable. I don't know. What are we doing?
Let's go to Bill and say Bill.
I thought that was clever.
Bill, hello. Hi, Bill.
Hey guys.
Hey, Bill.
I'm wondering, I kept waiting for Kuminga to come in last night, thinking this would be a good game for him, and then I kept waiting in the post game comments to hear why he didn't come in, and then I'm just wondering, we really don't know. Does Joe Lacob know? I mean, can we think of any team in the NBA where there's a situation like this? You know, it's kind of strange. You know.
Well, Bill,
let's just take your thoughts.
Thanks, Bill. Listen, I know that a lot of people. I totally get it if you find this head scratching. I know what the Warriors would say. Wouldn't it be great if Bill actually just got to ask that to Steve Kerr? And let me see if you think the same thing I do. If Bill went, hey, Steve, could you give us an explanation on why you're not playing Jonathan Kuminga? What do you think he would say?
I'm not going to give you an explanation. We're going to keep that in-house. You know, we're working through some things at practice. And when Jonathan has an opportunity and when we need him, he's going to be there.
See, I think he would say, I have, repeatedly. I have said this. I have said the same thing over and over. You don't have to agree with me. But
not of late, the last three games, Steve. Steve, did we lose you?
Yeah, he's answered the question after every game. This is where we are right now. He came on our show. You asked him if effort was a part of the problem, and he said yes. Mm. Then he said he's not playing well right now. They have said it's a tough fit. Again, we're all free to disagree. But I believe the Warriors have given an explanation. A lot of people just don't accept it and don't want to hear it.
Right, and you know, people want it to be asked again and again and see what's changed. And I'm sure they're going to practice, you would figure tomorrow or Wednesday.
No, I think there's no more practice this year.
No more practice because it didn't work out.
It doesn't work.
Last time they practiced, it didn't work out.
It didn't work.
Yeah, we're going to bag that.
0-2 since they practiced.
Good point.
Anyway, so Steve tomorrow? Yeah, Steve tomorrow. Nick Friedell tomorrow. We're going to move Mongo around tomorrow. John Feliciano tomorrow.
Okay.
You and I will talk a little bit.
Yeah, here and there.
All right. What are you going to do on the radio? There's no Grandy. What happens?
Still best of. Best of the game coming up next.
Yep.
And I thought you guys had a good crossover, specifically the first half where...
Oh, you didn't like the second half?
The second half was fine.
Okay.
But specifically the first half where... You got to talk about Kuminga, and Guru got to be himself and support Kuminga and say that it's personal. That's why Steve Kerr isn't playing Kuminga. And I don't know. I thought a lot of the different voices to the conversation were given a voice there.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
We'll start there.
Great. Well, if you missed that, then you should listen because Lucas thought it was really good. So.
And he doesn't always think things are really good.
No.
He's not one of these yes men. He'll tell you if something stinks.
He liked your Dolphins pick, though.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him clapping.
Well, if the game ends
like a dolphin,
how it is right now, I'm going to win 3.5-0.
All right. Well, that's what's coming up in the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Hey, thanks, everyone. That was fun. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure. That was fun today.
All right. Let's do it again tomorrow for Dibs and for Lucas and for Risotto. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Gar, gar, gar.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.